I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Next week's presidential election in Afghanistan is likely to be as notable for who'll vote as who'll win. Fears of violence could depress the turnout among ethnic groups in some areas. Women have special cause to feel threatened. Women entered Afghan politics only recently, and they've not received a warm welcome in the halls of power. An example is a woman named Malalai Joya. She was suspended from the Afghan parliament for comparing it to a zoo. The BBC's David Loyn tells us about women and democracy in this report from Kabul.
One of the occasions when Malalai Joya tried to speak her mind in parliament. Another MP shouts death to communists, although as the youngest MP, she has no background in the time of communist rule here that ended almost two decades ago. For her opponents, it's as much her strident tone and manner that offends. It's not what they expect from a woman.
She could be a very polite woman and act like a communist, atheist, any kind she wanted. But this was good for her, then go to London.
That's Ahmad Shah Ahmadzai, leader of a fundamentalist Islamic political party. He wants a society where women are able to go out only covered in a burqa, and he believes that democracy is un-Islamic as it demands rights which automatically lead to immorality.
When you talk about democracy in this religious country, you have to turn these people at least 50% against religion, and this is not possible.
Why is democracy anti-religion?
Because there are certain things it does not fit in it, democracy with the religion. For example, drinking is allowed. This is a part of democracy. Womanizing, this is not against democracy, but it's completely against Islam, against the religion. If you talk, for example, this is democracy, women should do anything they want. This is not. So here in all Muslim countries, especially in Afghanistan, you should limit the definition of democracy.
But behind this caricature extremism, there is a subtler challenge to the international attempt to introduce democracy here. Clan and tribal structures spin power away from parliament in Afghanistan with a centrifugal force that's hard to resist. And the last attempt to progress from monarchy to democracy in the 1970s did indeed end up in communism. But it's not all hopeless. For a middle path between these extremes, I turn to Shinke Karakel. She would not claim that Afghan democracy is perfect, but it is moving in the right direction.
Maybe something happened to one person. I have a different experience in this parliament. I'm the first woman inside the parliament which I oppose the law which was developed based on religious issue.
She led the campaign to overturn the infamous new family law that was going to remove many rights from Shia women in marriage. She did it both with speeches in parliament and on the streets.
In this country, because of the new democracy, we were able to protest on the street. We were able to protest in front of the religious madrasa, which was really supportive of this Shia family law. And because of this freedom of expression, our president was obliged to commit that he will review the law. And that's why he did it, and we achieved that.
Huge mistakes have been made in Afghanistan. The Taliban are stronger than when they fell almost 8 years ago. Aid has been squandered. Corrupt warlords have grown in power. And there's not yet a political alternative in the south to warfare against the Taliban. But at a time when there is growing public concern about the price of the war in blood, for Shinke Karakel, at least, it's worth paying.
Democracy is the value, democracy is the principles that you cannot get overnight, or you cannot take it just for granted. You have to sacrifice, you have to struggle, and you have to wait for a long time. It's a process.
That report from the BBC's David Loyn in Kabul, Afghanistan.